You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I was expecting a giant alien, like, you know, xenomorph movie, right?
That's just what it sounds like from the title. Anyways,
Anthropoid. Yeah. I just thought maybe, oh, they're re-releasing some old Corman alien ripoff.
Oh, how is it not?
Well, like a really cheap but cheerful Anthropagus ripoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Presented by Eli Roth or something.
It seems like, I bet you somebody who has been sitting on this name is like, eventually we're going to write this script because that's a great name. And they're like, wait, are you kidding? Somebody finally made it and it's a real story from World War II? That's crazy.
I was waiting for someone to say it in the film to begin with.
I'm still not entirely sure why this operation was called Operation Anthropoid.
You used a name that was nothing to do with anything at all, so that if they found out what the operational name was, they couldn't go, oh, that's clearly Operation Kill Hitler. I wonder what that does.
I think that there should be some sort of rule that the names of operations should at least be a pun.
Yeah, it would make for, you know, more entertaining mission.
Yeah, that's true.
Without question.
But regardless, this film, Anthropoid, which, as we said, is a historical thriller, directed by Sean Ellis, who did Cashback, The Broken, and then in Tagalog, apparently, which sounds interesting, The Language, made a movie called Metro Manila in 2013. Sounds kind of interesting. But a guy who obviously has tried a bunch of different stuff. He was trying something a little more conventional, at least saleable to American audiences, yeah, and not people who speak Tagalog. Basically, 1941, end of 1941, two agents sent out by the Czechoslovakian government that at that point were in exile because the Nazis walked into Czechoslovakia. They were like, came in expecting resistance, and all the Allies were like, fuck that. And Czechs were like, we give up. Don't kill us. Because they didn't have anywhere near enough armies to protect themselves. So Nazis have grabbed Czechoslovakia. They're in London. Their government is in exile. And they've sent in Cillian Murphy and Jan Kubis?
Yep.
I'm saying that right. I'm sorry. Real name, Jamie Dornan. Yeah. Sorry, he's playing Jan Kubis. The other guy is Joseph that Cillian Murphy's playing. And they're parachuted in secretly. One of them is hurt a little bit when they come in. But regardless, they manage to get in after a mishap with their contacts who have already sold out to the Nazis, as at this point many people have, because the Czechoslovakian resistance is largely looked at as completely futile, certainly understaffed.
Well, that's part of the historical context here.
Yeah.
After the Germans came in 1938, so actually before the war started, it was part of their grand view of Anschluss. The government in exile was basically just sitting there on its hands going, we've got nothing to do, we can't prove anything. And as of 1938, because of the Munich Agreement, which is a major back point, which kind of like is the shadow that's cast over everything, there wasn't simply like, we're not going to go toe-to-toe with the Germans. They'd actually said, okay, you can keep... you can keep this country.
As long as you don't invade us,
yeah,
we'll let
you. As long
you
as you
do
don't buy, because there wasn't actually any protocol or treaty involved that would have activated any kind of military engagement. So that's the problem there. The Czech government in exile is trying to prove that it's actually effective, that it's worth the Allies putting resources in. So they hatch the plan with the Anthropoid, which is to kill Obergruppenführer Reinhard Heydrich.
Which many people don't even know was the architect and designer of the Final Solution.
Yes.
The extermination of the Jews.
Maybe
the worst of the Nazis next to Hitler.
Heydrich rather liked killing people. Heydrich was basically a psychopath. Who was put in a position of authority where this was positively smiled upon, and he was given people to help him kill as many people as he could. And this is the back. This is the real background. That is this question of, well, we want to assassinate Heydrich. Is this a good idea? is this something that we should be doing?
Yeah, because
the Czech government in exile wants to do it just because they go, this is the only way we're going to get the Allies to get anywhere near
a lot of other people are like, the reprisals for this are going to be huge. Thousands of Czechs are probably going to die in reprisals, even if you do this. So yeah, there's a lot of question, and that's complicated as these guys are brought into their safe house and they meet their contacts. Toby Jones.
Hey,
I don't get to—I don't have to be a Nazi in this one, for once.
Toby Jones, who just for me is the best British character actor at the moment, because the instant he turns up, you're just like, whatever he does, it's going to be so understated but so impactful that I don't think there's anybody who's even in his league at the moment. I think he's truly, truly extraordinary. I don't think he's still getting the credit for how good he is.
I agree completely. Yeah, totally. But like,
well, this thing, every time we talk about him, we're all like, holy shit, Toby Jones should just be giving stuff.
So good. Even among that group of people, there's some doubt. People going, should we be doing this? A lot of arguing back and forth. Not everyone is completely keen on helping this plan come along. And also, maybe even to the point that they're not completely trustworthy in this scenario.
Up until the last minute, actually, they're still.
Oh, yeah. They are helped by two young women, Marie and Lenka, played by Charlotte Laban, and Anna Geislerova, who are locals who want to be involved. One of them older, has experienced this before, a little more cynical. The other very young and still romantic about it. And, of course, actual romance blooms at least a little bit between them and these characters, you know, during wartime. Yeah. You're like, gotta take it where you can get it. And the first two-thirds of this film is really that sort of about that nervous tension. Is this going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Was this whole trip even worthwhile? And it's really kind of setting the scene more than anything else of like, I'm watching this and going, so is this actually going to go into being a war film at some point, or is it just going to be...
Are we just going to be talking about
it? Is it just double thinking the war film? And I got to be honest, even though a lot of people I know saw this really enjoyed it, I was really bored by the first two-thirds of this film.
I was as well. I thought it was largely, you know, incredibly lifeless. And I thought, why am I not feeling any impactful moments here? The subject matter is so ripe, and it lends itself to such heavy, you know, moments, and scene after scene, I just felt so, you know, such a distance and a disconnect from anything that was happening on screen.
Yeah, completely. I just didn't know where it was going. I mean, I knew what happened historically, but you're like, shouldn't we have gotten there by now?
Yeah.
Well, I think it ties into a kind of a more of a history of drama in the UK and of films and of TV that are these World War II spy narratives. This really fits in with shows like the British TV series Colditz or Secret Army, which was about the French Resistance, and it feels like that. But I think if you don't have that tradition of like these super slow burn series and that super slow burn approach to espionage movies,
like this isn't going to Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is you know, high drama by comparison. You know, these are really long and slow, and the menace is supposed to be inherent. It isn't as good as those, though. Still, I think it's one of these weird things. It's like, yeah, I don't think this is necessarily meant pitched for a modern audience. And it doesn't do the genre as well as other things have done before. I think part of that is that I increasingly like Cillian Murphy. For years, he was one of my least favorite actors. I just found him extremely off-putting.
Really?
I think they finally worked out, he's finally worked out what it is that he does well, which is he's not particularly likable. There's something about him that is off-putting. And in this part, as the guy who's going, this is how we survive. This is how we get to the point where we can kill Hydra. Because at any point, we can be picked up by the SS. At any point, we can make a stupid mistake. And one of the best scenes is they go to a New Year's Eve party. And he explains to the girls when they turn up in their New Year's Eve best exactly how they are going to get them killed. And I loved that, because that was a great moment of spycraft. And his explanation of, like, here's how you fucked up, and here's how we're all going to die, and this is how we get out of this situation, I think is great. And I think that's the kind of thing he does well, but then you have this basic problem that your lead is inherently off-putting. And the other guy is just kind of there. You know, not much of a presence.
It's Cillian Murphy's film.
It feels like there's something lacking in the connection with the central character. Yeah. And, I think Cillian Murphy does the part perfectly. I think the other guy needed to be a little bit more impactful, a little bit more present, and I don't think he's as present in the script. He very definitely falls back in the second half.
I mean, I think Cillian Murphy is a fine actor, but I think you're absolutely right that he's one of those guys who's just... His je ne sais quoi is one of feeling uncomfortable around him. And I don't think he's as good of an actor as Michael Shannon, for instance, where you can get past that and he can play a variety of types of roles.
No, I think he's as good. I think it's just that Shannon's diversity tends towards the kind of somewhere in there there's a gruff likability or kind of or in something like Take Shelter, he's got that kind of, farm boy charm in there. Cillian Murphy doesn't. Cillian Murphy is Peter Lorre. He's modern
Serpentine.
Peter Lorre. Yeah.
Well, he's so contained, especially in this film. It's very, very hard to read. But I did love that scene where he finally, I don't want to, I'm not saying spoilers. But that
well, moment, I mean, that's the question. I mean, is it a spoiler if this is with the historical drama? I mean, the reason that this film is being made is that, Heydrich was the highest ranking Nazi official who was assassinated. Mm-hmm. What this is about is how you get there, what this story involves, the drama of it, the characters of it, the people, and they do, some of it is incredibly accurate, some of it they obviously fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. Some bits, there are some changes that are made that I look at it and go, knowing some more about the story, I'm not sure that change works.
No.
Or is necessarily a good idea, but it does come down to one of the finest parts, which is the actual assassination and then the fallout. And I think that's when it really kicks into gear in a lot of ways. And it feels much more sure-footed.
What was the scene you were talking?
It's the scene where his romantic interest, when he finds out that she's dead, and it finally is an awakening for him, and it is sort of like. He's allowed to sort of like break down as a character.
He finally has an emotional moment.
Yeah, and he finally realizes the gravity of what he is in, and the price of what he's doing. And I don't think before that he was just so one track minded. This is what I need to do. This is what needs to get done, and everything else is everything that happens just it's a casualty.
Well, it's because the only really even mildly human moments in this film up until the third act are that feel like two real people having a conversation are between him and that actress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where I'm like, great, okay, I get this. These guys have good chemistry together, and they're coming at this from different angles slightly, but they both agree how important it is, mm-hmm. and understand or are starting to understand what they'll probably be giving up by doing it. Now, when we get to the third act, which is when, even if you were asleep, by the time the third act starts with the attempted assassination of Heydrich, it's crackerjack cinema for the whole last act.
Film has finally come along.
You're like, hey, it's Assault on Precinct 13 all of a sudden.
Yes. Oh, God, yes, it is.
as our heroes are trying not to get killed by the Nazis who are a little pissed off.
Honestly,
I was watching that sequence, and I was like, if they do another Jason Bourne film, they should get the cinematographer from this, because this is how you put together a contemporary action sequence.
Yeah, because it's a really solid, really long action sequence. Pretty much the whole last act is an action sequence.
You get a brief down period, but really it's like it's basically two long action sequences that work extraordinarily well. There's some really beautiful, kind of very cinematic and graceful moments in there that I wasn't expecting from what we'd had previously. I have to say that the recreation of period Prague is extraordinary. It looks great. I mean, this is, a lot of contemporary films kind of stuff falls down. This felt right.
What were you saying, Frank?
I was saying it's funny that you mentioned cinematography, because that's the one thing that I was struck with, even when the film was wanting to put me to sleep. I thought, oh my god, this is such a gorgeous film.
The director is the cinematographer.
Yeah, I did not know that. And I was so struck by it. He used such like muted colors and brought the richness in them.
This guy really wanted to draw you a picture of this part of World War II that I don't think many people even know anything about. And in that context, it's well served by this film, learning about it, because you really will understand what happened, what it meant, what the sacrifices were involved. It was more than just the people involved probably getting killed because of it. It was a lot bigger than that. So, ask your question, why would you do it at all? It helps you understand that.
I think it's also very important in that way because, there is an element of forgetting what the Nazi occupation meant for every civilian group. And, a byproduct of Holocaust cinema being such a huge component of American post-war cinema, that the rest of that has kind of fallen by the wayside. And, you kind of forget about what happened to the Polish population, the Czech population, the French population. I mean, there hasn't been an English-language film about the French occupation in decades, as far as I can remember. And I think this actually, it does put that component back. I mean, this, it does say the Nazis just killed everybody. They didn't care. Mm-hmm. This was not, any pretense that this was, there was an underlying pure vision of what they wanted Europe to be. They just went hog shit wild and had complete domination. And they could, Heydrich could just go, oh, we're going to kill 5,000. Heydrich's underlings can say, if the assassins aren't presented, we're just going to kill 5,000 Czechs at random. Just randomly. Right. And the kind of amazing thing is they gave up before they got to the 5,000. It's like they got bored. And it's quite extraordinary to put that into context. And I do think that it's kind of strange that, that element of, while there is still so much World War II cinema, that the Nazi occupation genre has kind of collapsed and disappeared and is
very true.
Very narrowly focused on one aspect of what was worst about the Reich.
Yeah, obviously most of the films we're getting are the Holocaust films,
which was
certainly no way to overstate how important that is for people to understand and believe. Absolutely. In fact, was not exaggerated and happened exactly how they say it did. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be 300 films about the Holocaust. At least. Right? Whereas there's so many interesting stories in World War II. This is an interesting story. I guess and going into my final thoughts here, I just think that while it's certainly very pretty to look at, and it's very informative, it gives you the complete picture of what happened here, not just one angle of it. It's also pretty dull for most of it. As I said, I had a really hard time keeping up through most of this, and maybe, like you said, it ties into a different tradition of film or storytelling, wartime storytelling and spycraft, that's just not one we're as familiar here. But it didn't work for me on the whole, like, not hating it, just going, for fuck's sake, will something please happen, until something does happen and then doesn't stop happening for like 20 minutes, and it's so well filmed and so exciting and so brutal that you're sitting upright in your seat going, okay, I have completely have to revise all my thoughts on this film now, because I'm having a great time. Although you shouldn't say that while you're watching Nazis commit atrocities, but still.
Having a compelling time.
Yeah, having a compelling time watching this film. So in the end, I am going to have to give this 6 badly burned Polish sausages out of 10. Frank?
I have to feel the same way. This film had all the essential ingredients you would think to have such a great World War II tale. It's a pocket of, that part of history that we know nothing about. I certainly know nothing about. And yet nothing really connected. There was no punch, and it wasn't that any part of it was generic. It just was not special. I wonder if maybe it's the fact that we have, like, two, pretty boy, actors. I hate that term, but, in the leads instead of, like, two unknowns. Maybe that would have given it, like, an air of authenticity. Had we had, like, two guys who looked like, normal
dudes who the Czechs would have parachuted into Poland in the middle of World War II, saying, we can lose these guys.
Not Christian Grey, yes, absolutely. But, that being said, I do think the last act is strong. I do think the production values throughout, the cinematography and the just overall design is, great enough to recommend it. I give it 5 short New Year's Eve parties.
There you go. 10. And coming up at the end, last but not least,
the token European.
The token European was like, fuck you guys, it was my country that was invaded, you can all go screw.
We didn't get invaded.
What, England did?
No, we didn't.
What, England didn't get invaded by the Nazis?
No.
They bombed the shit out of it.
Yeah, but they didn't. They never.
Oh, they didn't.
They never invaded.
They invaded, but they didn't succeed.
Yeah.
So they just didn't occupy.
They never invaded. Nazi troops never actually got to.
Oh, were they never on foot?
The closest they got was they took a couple of Channel Islands.
Okay.
which is a major deal. No, they never got to to the UK.
Bombed the fuck out of us.
Oh, they bombed shit out of us, but
it took a decade to rebuild it, didn't it?
A decade? Jesus.
Changed,
you know they still occasionally find unexploded bombs in London.
Yeah, I've been told that.
There's still like
I went to a bunker during one of the open houses in London.
Oh yeah. If you're ever in London, go to Churchill's bunker.
Oh.
They reopened that a few years ago. After the war, they just closed it up because they went, we don't need this anymore. And somebody went, is that still there under the treasury? And they went, holy, it's still there.
It's like a major historical spot.
And it was like all the documentation was there. The maps were still on the walls.
Good Lord.
The beds were still there. Everything was still there. It's quite extraordinary to see.
That's because you guys get bored by your history. You're like, that's only like 50 years old. That's not history.
That's history. 200 years and six ghosts. That's the qualification. This is so close to being really good. Instead, it's just pretty good. Mm. You know, it's got a lot to you know, if you're looking for something which is mature and tells an interesting story and actually has some character development, then you know this is a definite sell on that point. I mean, there's definite ticket buy. It just never quite engages at the level it needed to. But I think you know this is a film that. It does tell a story that has been forgotten. It doesn't do it as well as things that have done other things. And I think, honestly, if you watch this and you kind of go, kind of interested in this, I wonder if there's better stuff out there that tells a very similar story. It's probably on YouTube. Try and hunt down the 1980s British series Secret Army, which is about the Belgian resistance. And to this day, I think you know, it's kind of been forgotten how good it was. But it was one of those things when we were really, we were dealing with the fallout of World War II, and we had things like Colditz, we had Secret Army, we had Tenko, which was set in a women's prisoner of war camp in the Pacific, and is still one of the best and sadly overlooked pieces of British television. Burt Kwok is fucking great in it. Cillian Murphy, great in this, but you know, in a way that is not particularly engaging. he sums it up. It's like, he's really, really good, but you kind of go, I don't necessarily want to spend an hour looking at his face. It's solid, not extraordinary. I will give this 6 jammed Sten guns out of 10.
Mm, they do jam a lot.
Yeah, they did.
They did. They were very jammy, but they also unjammed pretty readily. That was one of the great benefits of them. It was like you could hit them against a wall. And they'd fix.
So it's funny, all you're talking about the British perspective on all these things is very specific. In the American perspective, World War II films were just this. John Wayne wins the war.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm. It's like Americans come in and everyone is so grateful to see them. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God the Americans are here. Now we can win the war.
You do know the old saying about the Americans during World War II.
Yeah.
Oversexed, overpaid, and overhit.
That's probably pretty accurate.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.